Our Heavenly Father, we come before you. We ask that you be gracious to each and every one of us, especially to the one who speak and those who hear. And Lord, we do not want to walk in the darkness. We want to walk in the light. And I pray that you give us the spirit of wisdom and understanding and revelation so that we truly understand what you're trying to say to us. And so that whatever we do, we will be truly blessed by you. And I pray that you be with us today. And I pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. In verse 26, book of Hebrews chapter 10, it said, if we deliberately keep on sinning after we have received the knowledge of the truth, no sacrifice for sin is left. This statement is very, very scary. So, I pray that we can understand what it really means. The key word in understanding is after we have received the knowledge of the truth. After we have received the knowledge of the truth. In other words, before you have the knowledge of the truth and you sin against God, and I think God will forgive you. And let me find some proof. Okay? Right beside, after we have received the knowledge of the truth. Right beside that, we turn to 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12, all the way to 17. You write that down. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12 to 17. Right beside that, you write down Hebrews chapter 1, chapter 10, verse 26. Now I go to 1 Timothy, chapter 1, verse 12. I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has given me strength, that he consider me faithful, appointing me to his service, even though I was once a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent man. And I was shown mercy because I acted in ignorance and unbelief. Ignorant, that means I don't have the knowledge of the truth. So if I don't have that knowledge of the truth, if I act ignorant, the Lord will forgive you as long as you confess your sin. Does that make sense? Okay. Now I keep on reading it. Verse 14. The grace of our Lord was poured out on me abundantly along with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Here is the trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. But for that very reason, I was shown mercy so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus may display his unlimited patience as an example for those who would believe on him and receive eternal life. Circle the word. Believe on him. Believe on him. That's the key word. In verse 17, and now to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. So now go back in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 26. The Bible says, if we deliberately keep on sinning after we have received the knowledge of the truth, no sacrifice for sin is left. Circle the word. No sacrifice for sin is left. Now I will go back to explain what does it mean by the knowledge of the truth. What is the truth? What is the truth? As far as chapter 10 is concerned, the truth is we will not be made perfect by the animal sacrifice, but we can only be made perfect by the body of our Lord Jesus Christ. I say that one more time. We will not be made perfect by offering goats by offering ox, by offering lamb, by offering animal. No, we will not be sanctified. We will not be holy. We will not be cleansed because of that. But we will be cleansed by the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the truth. That's the knowledge of the truth. Okay, that's insight. That's enlightenment. And Paul did not know that at that time. Let me read that to you. Chapter 10, verse 1. The law is only a shadow of the good things that are coming, not the reality themselves. For this reason, it can never, by the same sacrifices repeated endlessly, year after year, make perfect those who draw near to worship. We are drawn near to worship every Sunday, to worship our Lord Jesus Christ, not by the animal sacrifice that we offer. It's by the body of our Lord Jesus Christ. If it could, in verse 2, would they not have stopped being offered? For the worshipper would have been cleansed once for all and would no longer have felt guilty for their sin. But those sacrifices are an annual reminder of sin, because it is impossible for the blood of bull, for the blood of goat, to take away sin. It is impossible for the blood of bull and for the blood of goat to take away sin. It's only for the body of our Lord Jesus Christ to take away sin. So I would like you to go back right beside verse chapter 10, verse 26. The knowledge of the truth, you write that down. 10, chapter 10, 1 to 4. Now I go back. Chapter 6. Do you remember when I first preached the book of Hebrews, I start with chapter 6. Because chapter 6 and chapter 10 is the most important chapter in the book of Hebrews. Okay? Now go back to chapter 6, verse 4. It is impossible for those who have once been enlightened. Who has once been enlightened means, as far as the Jewish people is concerned, they thought all their sins will be cleansed by the blood of the animal. They were still in the dark. And Paul realized now, all our sins are cleansed by the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. That is enlightenment. And who have tasted the heavenly gift, the gift of salvation, gift of eternal life, who have shared in the Holy Spirit. Once you believe in Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit is going to dwell in you. And who have tasted the goodness of the Word of God. Once you do the Word, once you obey the Word of God, and the Lord bless you. And you taste all this good stuff. And also taste the power of the coming age. Then verse 6. And if they fall away, to be brought back to repentance, it is virtually impossible. It's impossible. Okay? I read that again. In verse 4, it is impossible for those who have once been enlightened, who have tasted the heavenly gift, who have shared in the Holy Spirit, and who have tasted goodness of the Word of God, and also the power of the coming age, all these things are related to Jesus Christ. In other words, if you have tasted goodness of our Lord Jesus Christ, and then you say, no, I don't believe in Jesus anymore, then there's no more sacrifice. Then it is impossible for them to bring back to repentance, because to their Lord, they are crucifying the Son of God all over again. Circle the word. Crucify the Son of God now. Crucify the Son of God and crucify the Son of Man make a lot of difference. Let me explain to you. Paul crucified the Son of Man. That's the Son of David. But after you enlighten, and you reject Jesus, then you crucify the Son of God. Now I go back. Because this passage is so important, so I want to make sure that I'm correct. I want to take a look at what are the pictures talking about that. Take a look at 1 John chapter 5. Take a look at what Apostle John said. All these passages I'm talking today, I would like you to make sure that at home you can do some homework and study. Okay? Because a lot of people, they don't understand. Okay? It's a hard saying. Okay? 1 John chapter 5, verse 16 to 17. If anyone sees his brother commit a sin, that does not lead to death. He should pray, and God will give him life. That life is eternal life. I refer to those whose sin does not lead to death. There is a sin that leads to death. And I'm not saying that he should pray about that. All wrongdoing is sin. And there is sin that does not lead to death. So according to verse 16 to 7, there are two kinds of sins. Some sin lead to death, some sin does not lead to death. If some sin lead to death, even though you pray for him, he won't be saved. So you're just wasting your time. If some sin doesn't lead to death, you should pray for him, and God will give you eternal life. Am I right? No, first of all, am I right? Okay? There are two kinds of sins. One sin leads to death, one sin does not lead to death. Okay? Now, I want to give you some illustration. What sin does not lead to death? First turn to Galatians chapter 5, and then turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. These are sins does not lead to death. I want you to write that down right in the Bible, okay? These are the sins that does not lead to death, okay? Verse chapter 5, verse 19, all the way to 21. Let me read that to you. The act of the sinful nature are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, adultery and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissension, faction, and envy, drunkenness, orgy, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. And Paul saying that, if you do this, you will not inherit the kingdom of God. And Pastor John, and how come you still say that these are the sins that does not lead to death? I go to another one, Ephesians chapter 5. Now, okay, you know what? I want you to write all these Bible verses down, and then you go and study yourself, right? If you do not agree with me this Sunday, let's talk about that also, okay? Ephesians chapter 5. Chapter 5, verse 5. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 5. For of this you can be sure, no immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a man is an adulterer, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. I want you to write that down. 5:5. You say that this sin does not lead to death. Now I tell you what sins that lead to death. Go to Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12, verse 30 to 32. He who is not with me is against me, said Jesus. And he who does not gather with me scatters. And so I tell you, every sin and blasphemy will be forgiven. I read it again. Every sin and blasphemy will be forgiven them. But the blasphemy against the Spirit will not be forgiven. 32. Anyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man, remember that Son of Man? Anyone who speaks against the Son of Man, speak a word against the Son of Man, will be forgiven. But anyone who speaks against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven, either in this age or in the age to come. If you speak against the Holy Spirit, you're going to go to hell. Under what circumstances when Jesus saved you? And you have to write that down right beside verse 30 to 30, 32. You write that verse 1. Then they brought him a demon-possessed man who was blind and mute. And Jesus healed him so that he could both walk and see. All the people were astonished and said, could this be the Son of David? Could this be the Son of Man? But when the Pharisees heard this, they said, it is only by Beelzebub, by Satan, by the devil, the prince of demons, that this fellow. He didn't even want to mention Jesus, the name. He said, this fellow. He said, this man, drive out demons by the power. Jesus Christ drive out demons by the power of the Holy Spirit. In other words, if they say Jesus Christ drive out demons by demons, that means they blaspheme the Holy Spirit, say that Holy Spirit is demon, is evil spirit. If you say that, your sins will not be forgiven. You know what, I have preached a lot of sermons. I always preach chapter by chapter. I always preach verse by verse. I don't judge. But now, I judge. Because now is the time for me to make sure that when you go home and read the Bible, think that you don't understand. Now you start to understand. Chapter 6 and chapter 10 in Hebrew is the most difficult text. And I want you to understand there are two kinds of people. One leads to death. Even though you pray for him, you still go to hell. Another sin that doesn't lead to death, you pray for him, God will give you eternal life. Does that make sense? I have mentioned chapter 5, verse 5, Ephesians. I have mentioned chapter 5, Galatians, that all these kind of things, adultery, adultery, greedy, and all this kind of stuff. As long as you want to sin against God, you read the Bible, you realize that that's no good, then you ask God for forgiveness. And God will forgive you. And he will come to you. Did David commit adultery? Did King David commit adultery? Nathan pointed to him, you are the one who committed adultery. And he confessed, right? He confessed that sin doesn't lead to death. If you realize adultery is bad and you keep on doing it, then you go down. But you confess it, Can you be nonsense? You say, so help me God, I don't want to do it anymore. That thing does not need to know. Now I want to spend more time to explain what kind of sin that leads to death. That is incurable. Even if you pray to God, and God says, no more sacrifice for sin. As far as the Jewish people is concerned, they thought, I don't need to believe in Jesus. I have goat, I have bull. As long as I slaughter the animal and offer to God, and my sin will be forgiven. Am I right? And the author of Hebrews says, no more sacrifice. Now I want to go back to explain what are the sins that lead to death. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 29. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 26. If we deliberately keep on sinning after we have received the knowledge of the truth, knowing that Jesus Christ is the only sacrifice that is acceptable to God, in God's sight. The sacrifice of bull, a sacrifice of goat, sacrifice of any animal, even though you do according to the law of Moses, cannot cleanse you. Cannot make you perfect. Only the body of Jesus Christ can make you perfect. If we deliberately keep on sinning after we have received the knowledge of the truth, no sacrifice for sins is left. Right beside, no sacrifice for sins is left. You write down two Bible verses. One is Isaiah chapter 53, verse 10. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 10. Yet it was the Lord's will. It is the Lord's, circle the word. It is the Lord's will to crush Jesus and cause Jesus to suffer. And through the Lord Jesus, though the Lord make his life a guilt offering. A guilt offering, that means a sin offering. The Lord God make Jesus Christ's life, make his body a guilt offering. And then I want you to write down Psalm chapter 40. Isaiah say that, and King David say the same thing. Psalm 40, verse 6. Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but my ear you have pierced. Burnt offering and sin offering you did not require. Then I said, here I am, I have come. That's what he said. It is written about me in the scroll. I desire to do your will, O my God. Your law is within my heart. Jesus Christ knows that. It is God's will for Jesus Christ to be crushed on the cross, to die for us, to shed the blood so that our sins are forgiven. No other sacrifice can save your life. So that's why Jesus Christ said, I am the way, no other way. I am the light, and I am the truth. I'm telling you the truth. No one comes to the Father except through Jesus Christ. Anytime you deny Jesus, you go to hell. All other things does not lead to death. You deny Jesus, you reject Jesus, you go to hell. Now go back. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 27. They keep on sinning. I want you to write that down. They keep on sinning. What do you mean by keep on sinning? Sinning what? Keep on sinning. That three words. You write down 10, 29. Right beside 10, 26. Keep on sinning. You write down 10, 29. Go to read 10, 29. Okay, I read 27 first. But only a fearful expectation of judgment and of raging fire that will consume the enemy of God. Anyone who rejects the law of Moses dies without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. How much more severely do you think a man deserves to be punished who have done three things? Right beside who? You write down number one. The first thing he did, he has trampled the Son of God underfoot. Circle the word Son of God, not Son of Man. You trample the Son of God, then you are dead. You trample the Son of God, what does it mean by trample the Son of God? According to Hebrews chapter 6. Trample the Son of God, you write down 6:6. Trample the Son of God, that means you crucify Son of God all over again and subjecting him to public disgrace. You say, you denounce Jesus, you say, from now on, I don't think Jesus Christ is the salvation. I have other ways to be saved. I don't need Jesus. You trample him. Because God said that in Isaiah chapter 53 verse 10, that is the only guilt offering, the only sins offering to purify us, to cleanse us. You say, you don't need that. Let's say you have cancer. Especially say, now this medicine can kill you. You say, no, I don't need that. I can go to China, go to Chinese medicine, then you do that. Does it make sense? Second sin that leads to death. Right beside, verse 29. Who has treated what? Treated the blood of the covenant as an unholy thing. And that blood sanctified you. Not the blood of the animal, but the blood of Jesus Christ can sanctify you. You say, I don't need that blood. I don't need this body. Then you are dead. You know what? You reject Jesus, it is impossible for you to turn you back. Because you publicly denounce him. You publicly denounce him is after you know the knowledge of truth, not before the knowledge of truth. You remember I quoted 1 Timothy chapter 1, you remember that? Paul said that I was a blasphemer, I was a violent man, I acted ignorant, I acted unbelief. I don't know that, I don't know the truth, right? Now he knows the truth, he tells all other people. Don't reject this truth. Okay? When Jesus Christ was hung on the cross the first time around, it is the Son of Man, Son of David, who is hung. Now we study the scripture, we know the truth, we realize we are hanging the Son of God. Now you know the Son of Man is the Son of God, and you still trample him. Then you will go to heaven. Do you remember Matthew chapter 12? If you blaspheme the Son of Man, Jesus Christ say, I will forgive you, because you acted unbelief and ignorance. You don't know the truth. At that time, you know, people say, if you are the Son of God, why don't you come down? Jesus Christ remained to be there because he knows that it's the will of God for him to be hung on the cross. So he didn't come down. He remained to be on the cross. And people thought he must be a sinner. That's why God punished him. Right? Because we acted unbelief. We acted ignorant. We don't know the truth.
Now we study the truth. We understood the truth. We are enlightened by the truth. We found out that the blood of the animal cannot cleanse us. Only the blood of Jesus Christ can cleanse us. You say, no, I don't need the blood. I think the blood is unholy. Then you are dead. You are dead.
Third, if you blaspheme, you speak against the Holy Spirit. What's coming up? You write that down? Number three, who has insulted the Spirit of grace? The Spirit of grace is the Holy Spirit give you grace. What do you mean by Spirit of grace? Right beside Spirit of grace, write down Galatians 5:25. The Spirit of grace give you eternal life. The Spirit of grace give you power so that you can walk in the truth. Since we live by the Spirit, we live by the Spirit, that means we have eternal life by the power of the Holy Spirit, by His enlightenment, and then let us keep in step with the Spirit, and He can empower you, He can help you, not only understand God's Word, He empower you to do God's will. And you speak against Him, you say, I don't need Him, then you are dead. Okay, I'll go back. So I don't expect you to fully understand, but I do expect you to study at home all these Bible verses and study, and check it out to see what I'm saying is correct. Okay, you don't study. And then you reject it, that means you don't even have the Holy Spirit. Okay? I read that one more time, starting in verse 26. If we deliberately keep on sinning means 29, keep on trampling the Son of God underfoot, keep on treating the blood of the covenant that sanctified you, you treated that blood as an unholy thing. You keep on doing that. And then thirdly, you keep on insulting the Spirit of grace. If you keep on doing that, after we have received the knowledge of the truth. What's the knowledge of the truth? The knowledge of the truth is Son of man, Son of David, is Son of God. We don't realize that we crucified Son of man and we crucified Son of God. So we repent, we turn around, we ask for forgiveness. God, forgive us. We do not know what we are doing. Right beside the blood, you write down Gospel of John chapter 6. Do you remember that Jesus Christ said, you can eat my flesh and you can drink my blood. And all those people in Gospel of John chapter 6, after they hear that, they walk away from Jesus. 666. Chapter 6, verse 66. They walk away from Jesus because of ignorance. They don't have the knowledge. They don't have the knowledge of the truth. And Jesus forgives them. That's why 3,000 people come back to Christ in the book of Acts, 5,000 people come back to Christ. After that, they know the truth. At that time, they don't know the truth. Okay? When Jesus Christ said, you can drink my blood. He who eat my flesh and drink my blood has eternal life. Has eternal life. You don't drink it, you don't take the Holy Communion, you don't come to the church, you reject Jesus, you are in deep, deep trouble. You understand? He who eat my flesh, drink my blood, has eternal life. Does it make sense? When Jesus said this, a lot of people, they are ignorant, they are blind, they don't understand. And from that time, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed Jesus. But they only do it once.
But if you keep on doing it,
then you're in deep trouble, right? Don't keep on doing it. Okay? Now go back. If anyone who has rejected the law of Moses died without mercy, then if you reject the gospel of Jesus Christ, you will be subjected to more severe punishment. And that's what the author is trying to say here. And verse 30, for we know him, he said, it is mine to avenge, and I will repay. You trample him, you mistreat him as an unholy thing, his blood. You insult the Holy Spirit, he won't judge you now. He will judge you in due time. And the Lord will judge his people. It is a dreadful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Verse 32. Remember those earlier days. After you have received the light, serve the word of God. You receive the light, you write down, Gospel of John, chapter 8, verse 12. Jesus Christ said, I am the light of the world. I am the light of the world. Whoever follow me will never walk in darkness, but we have the light of life. Verse 32 again. Remember those earliest days. After you have received the light, after you have received the salvation of Jesus Christ, after you have received Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, when you stood your ground in a great contest in the face of suffering, sometimes you were publicly exposed to insult and persecution. At other times, you stood side by side with those who were so treated. Verse 34. You sympathized with those in prison and joyfully accept the confiscation of your property because you knew that you yourself had better and lasting possession. I want you to write that down right beside here. Write down Matthew chapter 19. You know, all these people in the book of Hebrews, all these Jewish people, when they turned to Jesus and believed in Jesus, and they faced persecution, the pastor faced persecution, and the congregation walked with the pastor, and the pastor was locked up in the prison, the congregation visited them in the prison, and then the other Jewish people going to persecute them, take away their property. I want you to write down Matthew 19, verse 28 to 30. Jesus said to them, I tell you the truth, at the renewal of all things in his second coming, when the Son of Man sits on his glorious throne, you who have followed me will also sit on the 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who has left houses or brothers or sister or father or mother or children or field for my sake will receive 100 times as much and will inherit eternal life. These people, their property, their earthly property was confiscated. Because they believe in Jesus. They don't reject Jesus. They help their pastor. And they gladly let them take away. Because they know they have family in heaven. They know that they're going to get 100 times. You know what? If you do not have the word of God, you say, oh, believe in Jesus, I lost all these kind of things. Oh, let me tell you, my friend, Pastor John, I don't believe in Jesus anymore.
Don't you know a lot of people say, oh, to believe in Jesus, they have to carry the cross. I don't believe in Jesus anymore.
You do not believe in Jesus, that's the sin that leads to death. After you have received the knowledge of Jesus. Verse 35. So do not throw away your confidence. What is the confidence that they have? Confidence is it will be richly rewarded as it is spoken by Jesus. In Matthew chapter 19, verse 28 to 30. Do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded in due time in the second coming. You write that down. Matthew chapter 19, 28 to 29. You need to persevere. When you face persecution, you need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what He promised. What is the will of God? I want you to write that down. What's the will of God? According to Matthew, the will of God is 16:16 and then 24-25. The will of God is two parts. The first part is believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. Jesus is the Christ. Believe in Him. According to Matthew 16:16. That's the part one. Part two, verse 24 to 26. Then Jesus said to His disciples, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and pick up His cross and follow me. Deny himself. You know what? It is very painful to see someone take away your property, confiscate it, and even persecute, publicly denounce you, publicly abuse you, and even beat you up because you believe in Jesus. It is very painful to suffer this kind of pain, but persevere. Don't give up. Don't throw away your confidence. And I'm not saying that we will face that, but when the time comes, I don't go to the church because so and so. Don't give me this kind of excuse. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? You better have better excuse. For whoever wants to save his own life, he loses. For whoever loses his life, lost his property, publicly disgraced by someone, it's okay. His shame on you, it's okay. Because Jesus Christ is glorified. Don't try to get glory in the church. Because, according to Psalm of David, 149, 4-5, the Lord God Almighty will crown the humble with salvation. You humble yourself, you allow someone to take away the thing that's precious to you, your name, your poverty, your children, your mother, your life. It is not that dreadful to fall into the hand of man. It is very, very dreadful to fall into the hand of God. Remember that? So that's why Jesus said, these kind of people can only take away your property, can take away your life, but they cannot send you to hell. But God can send you to hell. Does it make sense? For the Lord takes delight in His people. He crowns the humble people with salvation. If you are a proud man, you are in deep trouble. Hebrews 10, verse 35. So do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded in due time at the second coming. You need to persevere. So that when you have done the will of God, what's the will of God? The will of God, not only believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, but to carry your own cross and follow Him. I give you another illustration. This is according to Matthew, according to John. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 23, what is God's command? God's command is to believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ. Part A, number 1. And then B, in number 2. According to His command, to love one another. To love one another, they mean carry the cross. If the congregation do not love the pastor will lock up in prison. And he visits the pastor. I tell you what this congregation has done, okay? They have done a good job. Go back in chapter 6. Verse 9. Even though we speak like this, dear friend, we are confident of better things in your case. Things that accompany salvation. You not only receive eternal life, you have a lot of good stuff, good things to come with it. Like eternal inheritance, you lose the property right now, you lost your house, but God gives you eternal joy. A lot of good things accompany salvation. Verse 10. And God is not unjust. He will not forget your work and the love you have shown. The love, right beside the love, you write down. 1 John chapter 3, verse 23, B. First love, you write down. Matthew 16, 24 to 25. You carry the cross and love other brothers too. In the midst of persecution and suffering. God is not unjust. He will not forget your work and the love you have shown Him as you have helped His people and continue to help. We want each of you to show this same diligence to the very end. To the very end means persevere. To the very end means you are patient, waiting for the salvation, waiting for the blessing. In order that to make your hope sure. For sure you're going to receive this kind of blessing. We do not want you to become lazy or to imitate those who through faith and patience inherit what has been promised. So this church, they serve God when they first come to know Jesus, and now they continue to serve God. The author says, in those days you served God in the past, now you serve God now. The pastor says, I want you to serve God in the future until the end. Now, how do they serve? In chapter 10, we know that. When the pastor are exposed to the public insult and disgrace, they're willing to suffer with the pastor. I read that in verse 32. Remember those earliest days? That's in the past. After you have received the light, after you have enlightenment, after you know the truth, you know that is the right way to do to carry your cross, you know the truth, you just walk in the truth. When you stood your ground in a great contest in the face of suffering, sometimes you were publicly exposed to insult and persecution. At other times, you stood side by side with those who were so treated, like the pastor. And you sympathized with those in prison and joyfully accept the confiscation of the property because you know that you yourself have better and lasting possessions. So do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, when you have received eternal life, do not deny Jesus. Continue to rely upon Jesus to do God's will. You cannot do God's will by your own strength. But Paul says, I can do all things through Him who gives me strength. Rely upon Jesus to have eternal life. Rely upon Jesus to live a holy life. Do not reject that. When you have done the will of God, this is the will of God. You write that down. the will of God, rely upon Jesus to have eternal life, rely upon Jesus to live a holy life. Rely upon Jesus to carry the cross. Rely upon Jesus to love one another. If I don't have His promise, I can't do it. If I don't know that I get so much blessing, I can't do it. Now that you know, keep on doing it. Don't look at other people. You know what? Other people, they don't understand the truth. They walk away from the truth. You don't follow them. Imitate those who inherit the inheritance. Don't imitate the loser. Then I read that again. You will receive what He has promised. God promised to give us eternal life. God promised to give us eternal inheritance. God promised to give us eternal kingship. Whatever you lost for Jesus, He's going to pay you back 100 times. Verse 37. For in just a very little while, He who is coming, that's talking about Jesus Christ, He who is coming will come, then will not delay. But my righteous one will live by faith. What does it mean by we live by faith? This is the second part. We live by faith. Deny yourself and carry the cross. Don't let your poverty control your life. Don't let your name control your life. Oh, someone shame me, you know, say something there, I can't take it. And say, that's it, I throw the towel. You throw the towel, you lost so much. You cannot afford to throw the towel. But my righteous one will live by faith. And if he shrink back, if they know, I throw the towel, I'm not going to follow Jesus. And God says, I will not be pleased with him. Verse 39. But we are not of those who shrink back and destroy, and are destroyed. Shrink back, that means I don't follow Jesus anymore. Shrink back, that means I deny Jesus Christ. I say that one more time. You rely upon Jesus to give you eternal life. You rely upon Jesus to carry your own cross. You rely upon Jesus to live a holy life. Do not shrink back. You don't shrink back, He can bless you. But we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed. Destroyment means go to hell. But we are of those who believe and are saved. Not only are saved, we're going to inherit the eternal inheritance. We're going to inherit the kingship. We're going to reign with our Lord Jesus Christ. Our Heavenly Father, help us to remember that the salvation has two parts. The first part is receive the eternal life by grace. Second part, to receive the sanctification, to receive the holy life, to carry the cross also by grace. Because Paul said that, I can do all things through Him who gives me strength. If Jesus Christ did not give me strength, did not give me this kind of promise, if I forget all these promises, I can't do it. Lord, help us. Help us to know the truth and walk in the truth. And I pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Everybody say, Amen.